everybody's got to listen. We can't keep pushing the pendulum to one side. You know, if that young guy is on his phone all day, and you're a senior guy in the house, you could crack the whip a little bit, you know, and vice versa. If it's intimidating to be the young guy that has to sometimes nudge a senior guy and be like, yo, my man, can we do something today?
Firehouse Vigilance presents The Weekly Scrap, a podcast dedicated to the never-ending fight against complacency.
Corley Moore, Firehouse Vigilance. This is Weekly Scrap, number 88. My guest today is Rob Pollock, currently a member of the Passaic, New Jersey Fire Department, where he is assigned to Ladder Company 1. Started off as a volunteer and still at it, yes?
Yeah, still doing
it. All right, he's got the certs. He is an instructor. He's a master's degree, Arizona State University. Is that the Wildcats? I got it right?
Nah, Sun Devils.
Sun Devils. Okay, I should have checked. He has articles published, Fire Engineering, Firehouse. Most of you would know Rob, though, as the founder of Flow and Vent and the impact it has had on the fire service. So, Rob, it's my pleasure to have you on this guest, Weekly Scrap, number 88. Welcome, sir.
Nah, appreciate it. It's definitely different being on this side of the fence, you know?
Right on. To everyone watching live, they're logging in here. We'll get them going. If you have questions for Rob or myself, please do not hesitate to send them in the comments. Did I miss anything in the intro? Anything you would like to add?
No, I mean, I like to think that I'm a pretty quiet person, but I mean, you asked for a couple bullet points, so keep it short and sweet. But no, I mean, I just started as a kid, you know, doing this as a, ironically, I mean, I know we'll get to it eventually, but I started just as a high school kid doing it for credit and fell in love with it. And here we are today, you know, it turned into between Flow and Vent, the career, the network. It's who knew it would have led to this.
Right on.
Put it that way.
Right on.
You know,
checking the frame here.
Looking good.
Moving you up just a bit.
Nice.
There we go. Okay. Back to here. So let's start right there. Flow and Vent.
Shoot.
Where did it come from? Give me the story of how it came to be.
Flow and Vent, the infamous Flow and Vent from my area. So, you know, growing up a volunteer in this area, myself and another brother were into training. You know, instead of going back and complaining and bitching about issues in your own firehouse, the two of us just had a network of, turns out, Flow and Venting ideas. As tacky as it is, it's what it turned into. I'd bitch about something, he'd bitch about something. We'd come up with a game plan or a point of reference to work with. And, you know, it was born from that. And then, you know, us being involved in the volunteers in other towns around here, there were opportunities where we trained together. And at the time, a lot of the older crowd was kind of, I don't want to call them lazy, but just over. Maybe other things were going on in life and they weren't into the training. So we had the opportunity where they, you know, put it on them. They gave us the opportunity to run the trainings, right? So from there, it kind of just turned into, what do we want to do? Or what do we want to learn? We've all been through Fire 1, Fire 2 in our area. And, you know, again, volunteering in Northern New Jersey, it's not crazy busy. So you have to make up for the experience by training and learning and doing all the classes. So from there, it just kind of took off. Then once I brought that concept, that idea, guys started picking up the idea. You know, what are you guys doing this week? You know, just a quick back is in the volunteers, we only train once a week up here. So the other kid was big on another night, different department. And it ended up being, we were going out every other night doing something.
Nice.
We were lucky, you know, we started in 2013, there was a lot of houses being worked on in the area. So we were fortunate enough to start training on acquired structures. And obviously we had the right stuff going on back then, but, you know, and it just turned into a lot of mutual aid drills and all these companies started working together, but there's a few key players that were always involved, always training. And,
right.
You know, if you float through this area, you drop a couple of the names that you hear on the podcast, you know, Mike and Chad and all these other guys and Trip and Petey and all these guys, like it's like a culture, you know, you hear a lot of these guys about building cultures and environments, but you know, it all stems from the academy we were at. And we were all fortunate enough to learn from a lot of good guys that, you know, if you dig into, not going to drop names yet, but if you dig into where I'm from, where everybody's from on the podcast, like you'll pick up who the big key players are you know, put us in the right direction, you know, that kind of molded us and kept rolling with it. So from there, obviously, my one buddy that was big into it moved down to PG. He started riding there. I stayed up here, went to Colorado for a couple of years at school, stayed involved, interning, just buffing. And then we all get back from college and we're still doing it, you know? So it kind of evolved. And from that point, you know, the podcast started a couple years ago, you know, a lot of guys had a lot of good things to say. And again, it just continued to be a bitch fest on issues, problems in our area that we felt we could discuss them, you know, instead of back and getting frustrated about something. We literally have the mic, complain about something one-on-one, record it. Maybe somebody learns from it.
Right.
And it seems like that's, I mean, we've gotten fan, I don't want to call it fan mail, but, you know, appreciation from around the world, from guys saying, hey, I heard about this. I dealt it, you know, I handled it this way. You know, I came up with options A through B. It worked out, or vice versa, or it didn't work out. But, you know, just having that level-headed mentality and understanding of what we were trying to, we weren't even trying to push anything. It was quite literally just hanging out and recording our sessions, you know, and it kind of blossomed into where we are today. I mean, again, we're nothing big. We just like to hang out and train, you know. It's, you got to be into it.
That's,
you know,
a pretty solid foundation, though. Hang out and train, man. That's hard to beat.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, don't get me wrong. There were a lot of haters at one point. I mean, if you don't got haters, you're doing something wrong.
Right on.
But it was, and it still is. It's a heck of a ride. It's pretty cool. And then again, like a couple of years ago, the guys on the podcast, you know, we started doing a little bit more organized training, and we went out to Ohio for a conference for the first ever inaugural impalement class. And that was a fucking train wreck. I hate to drop the F-bomb on it, but it was like, we did it. You know, I did another presentation on something else. And after it, I was like, we drove out here like SEALs. We left at like 4 a.m. in Jersey, got there in like 9 hours, prepped quick, flipped, built the props, went through our spiel. And we got back and I was like, this was horrendous.
Really?
This was bad. But from that, you know, it led to what's today. Like now, you know, you learn, you know, you build up on, obviously the first go around is never going to be great. Right. No matter who you are, what you do, it's always going to be. And no matter what you do, you can always build and grow. But that was such a train wreck. I mean, I feel it was good because there was a couple key, I think Chris Tobin, I think from St. Louis, was down there. And I was like, I saw him put something on Twitter and I was like, oh, man, this guy was there. Like, he's kind of established.
Right.
You know, you drop a line, hey, appreciate you, you know, being in the class. He's like, I was straight up, how was it? He's like, not bad. You guys got to work on some stuff. But, you know, instead of dropping down and keeling over, you just keep chipping away. And
yeah, learn from it.
Back to why we started this. And now it seems like it's going all right. You know, like you said, a couple articles here and there. I'm more of a nerdy kid. I mean, I'm more of, I learn by my hands. But at the same time, like, I always felt that the fire service is either totally salty guys or academics. There's nothing in between. So you either have the guys that are really into the science or into just being rock stars on the, you know, on streets and roofs and whatever. There's nobody in between that kind of meshes it, that blends it. So now the more and more, like, I talk and I go teach and talk to guys and hang out and the podcast keeps growing, I'm like, we're slowly bridging that gap.
Nice.
Which is, I mean, think what you want. Guys will, you know, we all know there's guys out there that, like, have their, everybody's got their own opinion. It is what it is. But
sure,
you know, maybe it does something. Maybe there's a kid somewhere that is a, let's call him a nerd, high school nerd that joins the volunteers or happens to get hired somewhere and takes off with it. Who knows?
Right.
But if that kind of in some brings the story of Flow Event, I hope it did its justice in the story per se. But it just keeps growing. I mean, and I always put, whenever we teach, do a class, a, you know, hangout or a podcast, anybody that's supported us, been with us, sent a picture in, commented on something, even the guys that start the keyboard warrior fights on our on the posts,
sure,
you know, part of Flow Event, like, it's more of a cultural, firematic cultural movement than anything else. Because even, you know, sometimes people freak out on posts, and, you know, I hate Monday morning quarterbacking, but at the same time, you know, if you get a good image, yes, it's a framework, it's a second of a scene, but you can learn a lot. As long as you can put aside all the drama and who you think you are, who you think they are, if you could just take what's going on in that picture, you know, in film, they called it, you know, I did a little film, I attempted to get into film when I was in college, but, you know, mise en scène, or whatever that French word was, they drilled into my head at school, was like, you know, the framework. You're describing what's exactly like this, like the podcast right now. What's in your framework? What's in my framework? You break it down completely. And when you think of it that way, it's a little bit you know, you take away the who's, the what's, the attitudes. It's strictly, you know, take a couple of the last photos from Long Island that I've been sharing. It's like, you know, here's one building on fire with an exposure issue on the Bravo side, and you got three aerials up, and the engines are, you know, a block away with just lines everywhere. That's one thing that we've been preaching, that I preach, is like, you know what rigs can work. But if you just look at that and don't judge anything, you can learn.
Right.
You know, instead of just going after each other. I mean, right. It's not South Park where you're like World of Warcraft episode ripping each other apart. But, you know, it's, you can learn a lot from a picture as long as you can just chill.
Is it just the
chill and relax?
Is it just people's ego that where they have to say what they know and prove how smart they are?
I don't know. I mean, like, even I think Friday I posted this. Like, there's no secret. I like all kinds of music, but my biggest thing is like that DJ EDM whatever dance music.
Okay.
So I found this dude, you know, good cover of a song we used to play at the rescue squad I used to ride for, and you know, as ironically in the video or coincidentally. I think it's France or something. There's two guys, let's call them French truckies, you know, videotaping them on the balcony or something, and people start ripping each other apart about the helmet. Dude, it had nothing to do with the helmet. Right. All it was like Feel Good Friday. Like, you know, we're kind of rebranding. We have this. I have this opportunity to speak with you. So, like, you know, let's get the feed going a little bit. And people are just ripping each other apart about, oh, the Euro helmet versus the traditional helmet. Like, dude, it's not what it's about. But have the conversation, you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
That's also part of this, is to have a channel or, you know, going back to the Flow event, what we started for. If you hate the Euro helmet that much, have a conversation with the guy. You know, we are adults here. We're all firemen. Like, just
in theory.
You know, yeah, right. You know, you don't have to go and completely butcher the guy, but just chill, have a conversation. If you don't like it, whatever. Too bad. You know, you're in LA and this dude's in Germany. You're not going to see each other. You don't like the Euro helmet. That's fine. You know, right, it is what it is. I got leathers. I'm a leather dude, but it is what it is. But again, it turns into like another thing with just going back to like the nerdy aspect of it is, you know, in high school, they teach you, at least what I felt is you read a book, you go through a book, you spend weeks reading something, studying chapters. Your test, what's your test? 100 multiple choice questions, right? As you sure. move on through college, it turns into read these 7 books and give me an answer.
Right.
As long as you prove what you're trying to discuss and fight, you're good.
Right.
As long as there's backing to it. So why can't we do that in the fire service? Why, you know what I'm saying? Like, catch my drift a little bit. Like, sure. What I'm trying, I guess personally, what I don't want to call my mission, but what I believe in is just got to, you got to love this shit and you got to be into it. You know, if somebody says, hey, we shouldn't be, another thing I like doing, not to get all disheveled, but it seems that on the post, I get a lot of love on the memes.
Okay.
You know, take like something that's relevant in pop culture right now, you know, like, you know, we're big on, my wife and I are big on watching the WandaVision show that was on.
Sure.
And when the chick from Step Brothers, I guess she was like, I forgot her name, but she was like the nemesis of Wanda. Pops up and she just keeps making these jokes with that wink, the obvious, like, I'm, you know, you're wrong, but hello, it's in plain view. You know, I put like, we don't vent vertically anymore or something, just kind of like a, you know, hello, you know, it's a complete ball bust, but like that even started a crazy conversation because, yes, in the higher thinking, you know, yes, we should let's be safe and not vent, but we, like, where I work, where I'm at, even in the volunteers in this area, we still do it. You know, it's Northeast firefighting. Is there room to change? That's not for me to say, you know, but it's funny. And those conversations that build off of a simple meme,
right,
is great to see, just that there's decent camaraderie and a following. I don't want to use I hate using the word following because that implies that like all these people want to follow that. But you know, the group there, the guys that are discussing
things. Yeah, there's influence. There's definitely influence like, being exerted.
Right. Like, hey, this is a good conversation to have, you know, and that's why I say, listen, if you think something's crazy, go back to your firehouse, go back to your kitchen table, discuss it, you know, and then, I mean,
no, it's a way to work through it. Like you said, it started with basically venting, basically complaining, that's it. Right?
Just complaining.
Right.
And it blossomed into this.
I'll catch you up on the comments. Joey Hayes, my man in Florida. He said, nice hat, CM. Thank you. It's Bearers of the Oath. Absolutely. George Robertson Jr. Corley, it was good to meet you last week in Florida. Looking forward to the scrap tonight. Dude, we're kicking it off right here with Rob. GG Galasso says things require discussion, talking about basically exactly what you're saying. We can learn so much from the veterans. Got to listen to them. And then David Pruitt said, I think that the complaint turned into a discussion is so important, especially for young guys to hear. So many think they are the only ones experiencing some of these things. So would you say that's a part of the reason why the success has come for FlowInvent is that format connects with people?
I guess so. Maybe that's a good way of looking at it. But again, what I believe is unique is, I mean, let's call it the oldest guy on our cadre, our crew, our team is 35, you know, like, you know, that one guys might freak out now, like, whoa, holy crap, this guy's 35. Like everything's always about young guys got to listen. Everybody's got to listen. We can't keep pushing the pendulum to one side. You know, if that young guy is on his phone all day, you're a senior guy in the house, you could crack the whip a little bit, you know, and vice versa. If it's intimidating to be the young guy that has to sometimes nudge a senior guy and be like, yo, my man, can we do something today?
Right.
It's totally intimidating. I've been in that situation where, you know, everywhere I've been, sometimes it sucks, you know, to be like, hey dude, you got 40 years as a volunteer here, or, you know, you're about to retire, but hey, even one question can spark that guy to have a full conversation with you. And instead of, you know, oh, salty dude's here. No, if you ask him and you create that and you kind of can try to control the situation, but if you engage it, you at least can control your outcome a little bit.
Right.
So instead of going home and getting pissed off and saying vice versa for old guys and young guys, oh, this guy's a pain in the ass, this guy's boring. Give him a shot.
Right.
You know,
what are you maybe, doing about it?
Right. Don't just go up there and complain. And you know what? Both sides. If that individual is totally out of the game, all right, you try X, Y, and Z. You keep working with them and it's not working. All right. You know, it's not you. You know, it's not the older guy complaining to the young guy. It's not the young guy complaining to the older guy. It's the situation. And that dude just got to.
So do you think, and that's what I'm saying, is because you guys did something about it, not just talk about it. You know, do you think it's you actually took and recorded it and put it out there?
I think it does for the most. I'd say so. I think it makes a difference because at the same time too, anybody that's listened to the podcast, I always end up getting ripped apart. There's no doubt about it. I'll come up with a concept or something, and people love Mikey's voice. That guy rips me apart. But it's having that conversation, which is huge. And like the one gentleman mentioned in the comment, you said having the conversation is half the battle. If you hate something, I don't know, let's call it the rotary debate. You know, I like all the PG lights. Some guys hate them. If you guys got to have that conversation on why you got them, was it affordable? You know, are you trying to change the tradition? Did you have them back 50, 60, 70 years ago? You know, but if you don't know and you just say, I hate the whirly bird, you guys are bus, you're never going to know without having the conversation. Or, you know, I'm trying to think of something more tactical, like a search, you know, do you search with, this was a wild thing, you know, academy teaches you crawl, crawl, crawl. Realistically, guys know in a search, that shit's quick, man. You're sprinting. Right. Yeah, you're feeling everything. You're trying to hit everything, but it's hot. You know, some places still search without, you know, ahead of the line, obviously, depending on the situation. But, you know, you might have that kind of interaction where somebody's like, oh, like, I think Mike, I got to find the, I mean, I'll text it to you. But one of the episodes, we had a discussion with us about, you know, fast searches, slow searches, and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I kind of, in my experience, there's been times where, you got to hustle. Everybody, oh, yeah. You know, that knows you got to be ahead of it. You got to think ahead and have your 6, 7, 8 senses kick in to help you out. You can't just kind of rely on, oh no, we'll be fine. Let's right hand search everything.
Right.
But, you know, it's just, if that kind of helps answer that, I mean, we could go on for, there's so many topics, even like the, everybody loves it. Like, yes, I'm on a tower. I love the tower ladder, but we also have a tiller at work, and our spare is a tiller. So sometimes you'll have two tillers in the city, and I love tiller. I mean, that's the most versatile rig in the fire service, in my opinion, besides the tower ladder, as long as you know how to use it. But, you know, Mikey, man, I love the guy. And sometimes if you listen to the one podcast on rigs, it's just me and him back and forth, you know, but that's what I think, like you said, is huge. There has to be a conversation. There have to be opinions out there for you to listen and make up your own opinion. You know, you might go home and say, all right, we've never had a tiller in this town, but, you know, they're building condos, everything's getting tighter. you know, the tower ladders now these days all have minimum four, so it's mostly six outriggers or something, stabilizers.
Right.
It's starting to take up space. But a tiller, you got to go, you know, anyone, they're going to have two outriggers. Makes a difference, but the pros and cons, do we need a straight stick? Do we need a tower? As long as you have that, it's anything, right. You know, turnout gear. What color is it? Well, we've always been black. Let's get tan. Let's put a yellow stripe on it. Let's be different than the guy next door. It is what it is. But like, what do they say? Firemen too hate things the way it is and change.
That's it.
You know? But there's no asterisk in there that says, well, where's the last discussion?
Right.
We talked about something. It just turned into, oh, by the way, guys, I bought us a truck. It's massive. It's cool. It's great. Okay, we're gonna work together on this or what?
Right.
You know, so circling back, I think, you know, now having the opportunity to talk to you, maybe that's why people like you. I don't know. I hope somebody chimes in. Maybe somebody's gonna say, Rob, you're an idiot. Stop. But
no, so far so good, man. Been doing good.
It's going. It's floating a little bit. So
Bill Robertson, we got lots of Robertsons in here, but Bill Robertson said, respect house history and those there before. Right. Respect tradition, yes, while making your own new traditions. And I think that's part of it. I think sometimes when a young guy is fired up, man, it feels like they're trying to throw out the old.
I want to hit that if you don't mind.
Hit it.
That's huge because even no matter where you are, I mean, you can listen to Jeremy. You can listen to everybody and anybody in the fire service. Tradition and culture is something that gets thrown out or overlooked often. You know, like I said earlier with this Euro helmet versus American helmet. All right, there might be a big traditional thing there and looks and whatnot. But even the Vols, like whenever I get a new guy, you know, old, young, a 16-year-old kid to, I mean, we have a guy that joined that was in his, he's in the late 50s doing firewall. The guy's awesome. The respect, you know, you break him in right away. Say, paramilitary organization. You know, this is our wall of ex-chiefs. These are our rigs. This is what we've done for the last 120 years here. This is where we are today.
Right.
You know, but I hate to say, there's plenty of times where that gets overlooked and people don't do that. You know, now in the Vols, I'm a chief and I've passed on the training a little bit and all that like intro work because I like the captains and to get, you know, to get their gears grinding and working that. And you see sometimes it gets overlooked or it's stated differently. It's not brought out as obvious like, hey, this is the past. You know, why do we have this vehicle? Because of X, Y, and Z. This is why things were done then. You know, going forward, we can have a discussion, you know, where you get to adapt and overcome and evolve. But, and I love, I mean, today, I mean, I just posted it. Bobby Eckert found me a cabinet card of a dude from a Passaic truck too on Dundee,
right,
from like 1908. You know, and he's like, if you don't buy it, I'm buying it. And like, I mean, I'm not a big collector, but I just, if you love your city, you love your department, let's keep it fire out. You love your fire department, your company, whatever. You will hone in on that tradition, that history that was there to develop it and better it in the future.
Nice.
You know, like the truck I was on was started in 1871 by volunteers as a completely separate company. And now it's like, you know, when we brought back the patch, we brought back a couple things, but we also put on the new patch, you know, established 1871.
Nice.
You know, so people remember like, hey, we don't have a rescue, but that was our, you know, rescue company. Now together, we're slowly building, you know, all the little just historical things with a lot of guys that are, it's a buff little city. It's good stuff. There's a lot of history there, but
making those traditions, man, or connecting those traditions to modern.
Right. Right. And that's, if you think you don't have it, there's definitely something out there. You just got to talk to the right guy. You got to dig into it. Take some time, you know?
Right.
This is where I'll probably get a little like, contradictory. Maybe that one time, don't spend 4 hours stretching lines. Take like the extra hour to go talk to one of the older guys. Or if you're within rotation to do an evolution, maybe you do grab that ex-chief that's been here for 60 years and just be like, hey, why is engine one this way? You know, why, you know, has this always been this kind of rig? Is this the mutual aid piece? Is, you know, what's the history with why the door, you know, it might not be like, hey, we've had this certain striping or certain logos or whatever. Maybe it's the last committee put it on, but you never know. You might find out that, I mean, like Progress has the shamrocks on their rigs.
Right.
You know? I gotta reach out to Kyle and find the real story. Why?
But, get the story.
You know, like, you know, you see little things, little graph, little things just make a difference. You know, like I used to run the candy cane stripe on my helmet, you know, like that's how I just distinguish myself from guys around here. And now you see it like one of my guys, painted the two back panes of his helmet. He's a captain. He painted his two back panes. He's like, oh, this looks cool. One of our old timers, man, this dude hasn't ridden in like 20 years, but still comes around, was like, oh, I used to do that when I was a captain like 40 years ago. Nice. So it's, you know, it was completely coincidental.
Right.
And just, but it worked. But that conversation started between the young and old. And bridging that gap, man, that's a whole nother, it's a whole nother conversation.
Conversation
with wild. That could get wild.
Good. We'll touch on it. I'm going to catch you up here. A lot of comments coming by. Lillian Walker said, I run with a volunteer department for the last 4 years, and it's unfortunate that in this area, the adults spend too much time trying to be their friends and not the chief or mentor.
Mm. Yeah, that could be no bueno for sure. I'll do 2 seconds on that. There are times, man, like last in my vols, we've all grown up together from high school, playing sports together, going through the ranks. It gets tough. I mean, where you got to split boss to friend to, you know, to hierarchy. It's tough. As long as you can try. I mean, I don't know if I'm completely, sorry, Lillian, if I'm not answering it, but you know, as long as I don't know. I mean, I feel like if in my situation, like I tell my guys, dude, once we cross doors and I'm in the firehouse, I got to be chief. Can't be friend. You know, it's business. Once we get out the doors, dude, you know, whatever. I've known you for 15 years. What's up? You know, kind of thing. But it gets tough. But, you know, bridging that age gap with that similar issue, that's tough. But again, what we talked about in the beginning, can you maybe ask, hey, what's up? Or do you have a mentor yet there?
Right,
that's with that crowd that knows that older crowd that can kind of direct you the best way. Or maybe you can bridge that gap and go, you know, you go to your mentor and say, hey, I don't understand why, or I don't feel that this is right, or not right, but you know what I'm saying? It doesn't feel like a command structure.
Sure.
It's just all hang outy. It's too hang outy. And then when shit hits the fan, you know, you want a guy or girl involved that shit hits the fan, they're gonna run the show. You know, they're gonna get you out of whatever they gotta get. If they're on the command side, they're gonna drop the mayday and call for extra units and take care of the problem.
Right.
But if 99% of the time you guys are, you know, drinking sodas and just chilling and making jokes about stupid shit, do you build that confidence in your guys and your crew? You know, it gets hairy, but again, biggest I would think, I mean, I don't know what you think, is maybe just get somebody that's a little senior and talk to them and be like, listen, is this how it's always been? Can we work on it? You know, can we, I don't know if that's making sense a little bit. That's a tough one. Cause
no,
I don't know the story, and I don't want a Monday morning quarterback if I don't know everything, you know what I mean? And I don't, it gets wild.
And it's hard to get to drill into specifics when you don't know the dynamics and the politics of the department.
The politics is a whole other
ball of wax. Jeremy Mathis said, people aren't necessarily afraid of change, but afraid of losing what they know. So I like that point, but David Pruitt came back to him and said, too many don't know what they know when challenged, and definitely don't know what they don't know. You got to reach outside the box and find the ways.
Yes.
And I think that's huge. That's where Flow and Vent comes in and everything they post. I think that for so long, it was so easy to say, that's the way we've always done it. That's the way it's done here. Mm-hmm. And there was no way, the internet didn't exist, you know, outside of Fire Engineering Magazine, Firehouse Magazine.
Right.
It was so hard to find information. So that's what's really been great with the internets and the Flow and Vents out there.
Well, there's plenty of us out there, and you see a lot more pages starting up, but that's the biggest thing. Is I even preach wherever I'm a member that day, is you got to get outside your borders, right? So if you only know that you only have one in one, and that's the way it's been for 7,500 years, you're only going to know that little box, that little geographic, you know, those 16 members and those two rigs. So you're not going to know, you know, obviously now, like you said, you know, the advancement of the lucky cell phone and internets and everything. Yes, you can research it, but if you don't go outside your comfort zone and outside your borders, you're not going to know anything besides what you know. And that could be, you know, what I'm trying to get at as, yes, it might seem beneficial that it's comforting, but if you're not changing or developing or researching anything, like, what are you doing? Like, yes, okay, we've survived this way. We're quiet. We don't ask for more money. We run the same engine. We send the same pack. We We wear the same, I don't know, we use a three-piece Halligan because that's the only thing we got in the 60s, and that was it. Yeah, no, okay. But if you go next door and you see how they're doing it and it's kind of working, maybe get involved and talk to them, train with them a little bit. Who knows? That might work better for your guys. You might find out, hey, my whole crew is, just for sake of argument, my whole guys are, they're all carpenters here. You know, nobody's got a shoring team around here, but the next county over, you're friends with a guy, you played softball with him, whatever. Your wife's friends with his wife, or I don't know, you both play pick up hockey somewhere, but they're a shoring team. You go hang out with them, and hey, by the way, you mind if a couple of my guys come over and just watch the first time?
Right.
And who knows? Who knows what could happen? I'm not trying to get on a tech thing, but you know, that interaction is huge. You got to get outside your box. You got to get outside your borders. And even like when shit hits the fan, having, you know, a plethora of ideas in the back of your head, not when shit hits the fan, but you have, you know, subconsciously, you know, like the Rolodex or, you know, just ideas that could come when shit, it's going to make a difference no matter what, right? They always say practice like you play. Yeah. So even when we do a little in-house drill nights, like, we'll throw curveballs at people. Like, I mean, you always hear about SWAT teams, special forces, all these guys adding crazy stressors,
right?
You know, music blaring, lights flashing, all this crazy shit. Why don't we do it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, we go to the burn building. Great, you pull up, same shit. Pull a line, go inside. You know where the sofa's burning on the second floor, and you're done.
Right?
Why not throw curveballs at people? You know, it's a safe environment. You're going to, obviously, you're going to set up a couple extra guys to be eyes if things go south.
Sure, sure.
Cover your ass. But, you know, actually, I think yesterday, the day before, somebody posted, it was kind of a funny video. You know, a dude's walking around on a fire ground with a, it was one of the instructors, obviously, but he's walking around with a gas can, and the caption was like,
yeah,
well, obviously that's out of, yeah, that's out of place, my dude. But, you know, if you're training, it's practicing like you're playing, you're like, wait a second, this shit's not right. Like, what are you doing?
Oh yeah,
you
know, David Millen, things, he'll throw some curveballs, yeah, man. Yeah,
right, and it's good. You know, you guys got you know, and that's, I think we're going to touch on it a little later, but you know, you just gotta be creative.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta be creative. You can't just say, hey, we're doing a 14-10 once a month, every month, every day. Great, we're gonna pull a line, park, hit the brake, pull a line, hit park, hit the brake. Oh, hold on, it's time for hydrants. Everybody knows where the streets are. Okay, we're done.
Right.
Yeah. No, you don't got a rescue, doesn't mean stop. Think, get unique.
And what I'm catching, like an underlying theme or current to what you're saying is you got to be a doer. You got to take action.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
for sure. It's on you.
Yeah, 100%.
like you say, you know, accountability is key. You know, like anything. Like, I mean, my dad was a cyclist when he came to America. And, you know, the only reason that he was so successful is he rode that. He was like, we'd wake up, he'd ride the bike. He wasn't home till, you know, he's from Poland. So he'd be on the bike all day, come back at night. Like, that's his thing. You got to be like that in the fire. So it's not overkill where you don't have a family and friends, but enough where, you know, you're driving down the block and you know, you're looking at buildings and you're like, yo, if that room was off, that's a bad day.
Right.
You know, you, those little moments pick up on things. And then that opportunity or the time that you're in those shoes and it's your job and you're pulling up to that, you're like, yo, at least I have a couple checkpoints already tacked off in my head.
Right on.
I know, you know, this is type 3, boom, 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 we're good. But if you never think about it until the day it happens, you're going to have a little bit of a delay.
A little bit, yeah. You're not going to just automatically start recalling. John Chaussette III, dude, I always butcher your name, I apologize. How do you bridge the dinosaur, old way of doing things, to the new guy going through the academy? As a young captain, I respect the senior man. However, I think the structure academy way is imperative for the new kids to learn.
Well, I feel that first off, whatever your training academy, your certifying agency, whatever their lesson plan is, whatever they're going to grade you on, give you the pass, fail, the certification, you gotta, obviously we know that you gotta learn that first. Once you get your certification, once you're good to go, have that conversation. You know, instead of, again, like my book, instead of complaining about the dude that's been sitting there for 40 years, see if he'll get up. Be like, yo, Joe, how'd you guys do this
back in the day? Right.
You know, and he might be like, all right, fuck it, I'm going to do this or I'm not going to do this. But it's on him then, you know. And if you, obviously, you're not going to call all the old guys out one shot. You can never do that. And vice versa. You can't call the young guys out or anybody. Sure. Always. Try to use everybody, you know, and that's, just want to finish the answer before I go on a tangent, but you know, you got to try to chip away. Once you get out and once you're certified, boom, I'm an interior guy, wherever you're from. Great. Now we can show, hey, this trick from the 30s works. I'm getting really crazy with timing here, but you never know.
Right.
You know, something little, as simple as, I mean, think of even I was teaching last week with the guy that taught me, coincidentally, it's awesome working with him now, but you know, the hose strap, right? A piece of equipment that everybody's like, whatever, we're going to throw them out. Like,
right.
We don't move lines. Like, it is what it is. But the thing he taught me then, which he learned years before, you know, you're moving a 2.5 by yourself. You just throw a hose strap on it. You tie it in. You got a handle. You can run a 2.5, no problem. One man pumped correctly, obviously. Let's throw that disclaimer out there. But, you know, you could do that. And that's an old tactic. That's an old strategy. That's an old tip. But, you know, for the guys that are, again, I'll hit on the young guys too and jab at them, is if you're too much into this stuff and you kind of forget about the basics, you're going to be like, oh, we got to get 40 feet away, and we got to buy this thing and that thing, and we got to change our hose to this. No, dude, just keep it simple. You'll be all right. Try it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I'm trying to think what the tangent was going to be on, but hopefully that kind of answered it, maybe bridging that gap. I mean, it's, everything's always going to be tough, but as long as you're in it and you care and you're into it, you'll be fine. Just got to chip away, you know?
No, absolutely. The always comes back to Ken Robertson chiming in, says it always comes back to a strong senior man helping the officers to bridge the gap.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely doesn't hurt. John Haywick said networking is key. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. All right.
Those are huge.
No, 100%.
Cute.
And the rise of the micro conference, that's another thing I was going to touch on, and being
right.
You know, back when the game was just FDIC and, you know, Expo, now you can catch a just badass training every weekend.
Everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere.
And that's, and you got to, I mean, yes, if you can commit to it financially, get to as many as you can. Because again, just because, you know, let's call it Flow Invent shows you once a week, twice a week, another way of doing it. By you actually going on hands-on and meeting these people that teach things, whether it's through the lock or impalements or live fire, you know, roofs pulling or multiple stations. If I'm working with you and I know you're from out west, I'm going to learn the out west way.
Right.
Right. Or vice versa. You come to me, you know, I ride on a 3-man truck. People think it's crazy. Sometimes they're in the volunteers. I got two guys, you know, it's a whole different world. You know, I got family in the big city and they're like, you know, I told him one day what we do. He's like, you got to be kidding me. Like all those OMDs that go up sometimes, like on our first worm, I got 9 guys. They right. got like 75,
yeah.
You know? So it's like, okay, different world. This is why we do things this way. And again, like you said, bridging that gap with young and old and the culture and the past is the city hasn't changed much wherever you are. Your first dues. All right. Yes. Disclaimer. We know that type fives and light wood frame is taken over and all this kind of stuff, but your response areas, unless it's a crazy developing area here, hasn't changed much for us in the last 50, 60 years. Just homes got bigger, you know. There's a different demographic coming through. But as long as you know the basics and you keep it basic and keep it simple, things are going to work out. If the fire goes out, problems go away. If the truck gets there and you can't make it and the stick doesn't work, oh, maybe we should pull a ground ladder. Ground ladders are on everything. Use them. Keep it simple. And it kind of takes off, but... hope that wasn't a horrible tangent, but it kind of makes sense.
We almost made it to like our second question of the.
Oh boy!
Tons of tips and tricks that you guys have shared through Flow and Vent. I mean, you've made a lot of posts on everything you found out there. I mean, you've shared a ton over since as long as you guys have been. Can you think of some of your favorites or things that stick out in your head? Memorable stuff that's right. For whatever it is, not even that did the best. I'm just saying sticks in your head.
Oh man, that's a tough one. I mean, I'm just flipping through it now, and you know, what's funny is sometimes I put a lot of effort into this stuff. Like if I think it's decent, or if I'm having a conversation with one of my new guys or one of the probies, or even a senior guy, I'm like, maybe I should put something out there. But I'm looking like at these a couple now. It's one of them was where is it? I gotta pull it up. Well, actually, one of them was a roof report. It's a helmet cam picture of a fire we had in this area, and it was simple. It was just like, you know, when you give a quick, simple roof report, you know, make sure you give the conditions, actions need, your little can report, what the ice you can't see. And then I'm reading Norman yesterday, and I'm like, shit, this is the same kind of stuff. What am I doing? I'm just regurgitating, just like, but going back to that youth, old, you know, the generational changing, it's delivering the message differently for them to understand.
Right on.
You know, so I'm sitting here looking at this right now. I'm like, all right, what is this? Do I have the company? Is it you? Just make a cut. I'm like, oh, okay. Situation dicks actions, and just communicate plain language. If you need help and if it's burning through, just say something. Don't try to be a hero. You know, I mean, little things are cool. I'm trying to find like what I'm not even looking at numbers. Just like scrolling through this. I'm like, shit, I posted a lot of stuff, you know, like, and it ranges. There's sometimes we get stuff from guys that don't want to be known, like kind of like an anonymous, but some of their material is phenomenal. I'll put like a, if you're actually reading the post, you'll see different hashtags at the end of it with like an ID number or something, you know, that's from somebody else. But I mean, I'm a big fan too of people break my chops, but I'm like, you know, a film buff. So a lot, I grew up watching a lot of the documentaries, obviously post 9/11, pre 9/11, all the city guys. And there were just one liners sometimes that just like, just pop. And it makes a difference, because even with one of my probies, you know, I made him watch the documentary, The Brotherhood and the FDNY, right?
Right.
And, you know, the one scene, the guy's like, yep, we mop the kitchen 3-4 times a day. I'm like, I still do it. You got to do it. It's the right thing to do. It's your house. You're there for 24. Clean this shit up, bro. But then he watched a video, and he's like, or he watched the documentary. He's like, oh, this makes sense. Like, why you think the way you do? And again, totally different area, but just these things go and make a difference. And even I'm trying to think, I mean,
just ways to bridge that gap. Just ways to bridge. Yeah.
It makes a difference. I mean, there's like funny, like I said, the funny posts, like Dave Portnoy from Barstool, we sent him a hat and like a t-shirt during the COVID when he was doing unboxings. That was funny. Not think that it would ever got made it, but I mean, I just like to post things that are, you know, if it's prevalent,
sure,
it's up. You know, so you it doesn't have to be something. Shoot.
No. You're good. You cover a lot of skills. Impalement, like your article in fire engineering. RIT, the chauffeur to the seat. There's some variety and everything. But there's a couple I want to dive off into and talk to you about.
Shoot.
And one of the first ones that caught my eye was preparing for the what if. The what if. What exactly is the what if? Okay.
So the what if. That's where, you know, what I tried to bring up in the beginning on that whole college versus high school versus the new guy versus the old guy. Like the what if is the conversation that nobody really has, you know, like what if is just is thinking outside the box of being creative, making up your own movie. I mean, you know, it's like you may have a train in your jurisdiction. Nothing's ever happened in 135 years. Yeah. But what if the one time that some kid puts a chalk on the rail and the thing derails, what do you do now? Oh, it never happened here. It can't happen. You know, like I said, I've been doing this only 13 years. I'm young. I know a lot of guys are going to freak out now, but I never thought I'd go to a plane crash. I went to a plane into a house a couple years ago, and I was like, this shit's freaking insane. You know, like you got to think for those crazy things. We get really good at bread and butter fires, private dwellings, you know, multiple dwellings. Yeah, high rises are special. That's not for me at all. But, you know, pin jobs, basic door pops, we all get that. But, you know, what happens when somebody gets waffled by the train and the train's on top of the car and the guy's viable still? Right. You got to make a cut. You got to stabilize. Now what? You know, even when you look at your equipment from a managing standpoint, if, you know, when you're making it up the ranks or even as a rescue guy or just loving this stuff is, wait, all right, we bought struts. Great. Each single strut's got a 500-pound rating. You can't do anything with that. You know, it's like a little sedan, like a car. You're not going to be lifting trees with that. You know, so when you're thinking, you got to think outside the box for everything, not just incidents, but your training. You know, that's people broke my chops at first, but now they love it and understand it. At one point, I was bringing in guys from state lines and, you know, a county over. Why? Well, I want you guys to learn why they do their things.
Right.
You know, because should something really pop off and get really crazy, things are happening now. You know, the world's a wacky place and it keeps changing quicker than quicker.
No doubt about
that. If we end up in their district for some crazy reason, maybe we were covering somewhere for another assignment and then they go for another fire out or something on the box, you guys got to be a little aware of what to do. You're not going to be fighting, you know, row homes or multiple dwellings the same way you handle a McMansion or a single family ranch. You know, so that what if isn't just about the crazy concept. It's the little things.
Right.
You know, and it, it does make a difference, because like going back to the differences in training is maybe that one time you're alone stretching in. Yes, we know by the textbook we're not supposed to, but when the job hits and somebody's hanging, you're going to go to work.
Yes.
You know, and if you're by yourself and you got to stretch in by yourself, maybe those little two things I learned from the guy in a city area or in the rural area might help. You know, and again, 100%. That's just the biggest thing, is always just sharing information. Because, I mean, one guy, when I was a probie, obviously the secret was out. People were breaking my chops when I was in probie school. Oh, we know who you are. You're the volley, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, the one guy told me, he's like, don't be shy. You got to tell me what you know, because what if I'm going to screw this up. But it was along the lines of, if I don't know what you know, it might get me killed. You know, right. So by me being a quiet new guy, you know, and I don't say something just because I'm intimidated and I know my place. Don't open your mouth 5, 10 years, shut, you know, just stay quiet. But if he doesn't know what I know at my level or my training and education, it might get him jammed up, which may get all of us jammed up.
Right on. Or what you're knowing, or what you don't know, you know?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So, hey, ask questions. And if you know something, have the conversation, because it might be as simple as, you know, terracotta roofs or something like that, clay roofs. And you're like, oh, it looks cool. It's easy. To a new guy that has no idea, like, you know, in this neighborhood and a couple towns over, it's very bigger homes, McMansions. A lot of houses have it.
Right on.
If you have a kid that rides there for fun, that comes from like a southern area, you know, a city area, and doesn't know what that is, I mean, you should out of a textbook be obvious to tell what it looks like. But the guy's going to step on it, slide off, or take a saw to it instead of whacking him out.
Right on.
You know, like, you got to talk. You got to share that information, because it'll make a difference down the line, for sure.
No, and we take so much for granted. Speaking of Jersey, because your accent. But Mike Turpak chimed in and said, love the if with a couple exclamation points. So there you go. You got a ringing endorsement.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I hope I got the test next year. Got to get to a class.
Right on. Ryan Howard said, rescue guys live for the what if. 100%, man. Ryan King says, but you can what if too much. So I'll throw that at you.
I'm going to type that. Yeah. No, for sure. You can't be the guy that's always walking in every day saying, hey, plane's falling out of the sky, helicopter's going through the – you got to be somewhat sound to your jurisdiction, right? So in one of my jurisdictions, I got 4 or 5 over 25-floor high-rises in that ballpark. Keep it simple. All right, so one of my big things is pushing the – and I've seen it. I've witnessed it. You know, guys doing window washers, right? Like New York City, all these big cities have window washers. But I only got 4 or 5 of these buildings. So my what if is that's going to happen one day. Something's going to happen. Those guys are screwed. What are we going to do? Wait for mutual aid to handle it? Right? No. But I'm not going to start saying, oh, what if they keep burning, you know, doing burnouts every day and this, like, you have to be, you can be overbearing, but you don't want to be underbearing at the same time. So,
right.
You know, you don't want to keep saying every day, hey guys, we're going to train for crazy shit every day.
Right.
You got to think, you got to be a little bit humble and think, all right, couple, you know, maybe once a week we'll have this crazy discussion on
Well, the fun,
was another, and if you get those, maxim.
Get those fundamentals and those basics. Get those locked in. Get those knocked out, and then have the fun what ifs. You know, because you got to get the fundamentals off the table.
Right. If you can't put out a room off on fire, you're gonna have a bad day. Great. You can tie every knot in the book and hang upside down and cut cars from ceilings while putting fires out. Great. But if you can't put a one room fire out, we got to talk. You know, we gotta bring it back to earth, my man.
Flame Natural Decon says, if you train for the what ifs, the situation probably won't be exactly what you've trained for, but you have some training around it, and that shock factor of that situation won't be as bad.
100%.
Yeah.
Definitely.
A little bit of that stress inoculation, a little bit of that preparation. Right.
It's you got points already in your head. You kind of, not that you're expecting, you'd be like, well, we've spoken about this going sideways.
Right.
It may not be that scenario, but hey, we're going to call the alphabet soup and get this going. We're good. Crazy situation, but we're going to handle it.
I'm guessing it's Tara, since it says Flame Natural Decon. She says hi to us both, by the way.
Probably.
So, there it is. Okay. Social media and your company. Another class you offer is social media and your company. So, exactly what is social media and your company?
So, social media came out of, obviously, this Flow event. We see how, and for those that have followed us from the beginning or just jump in here and there sporadically, you see a lot of Monday morning quarterbacking comments occur. And we've talked about in our podcast where, you know, like we said in the beginning of this one, we're not out to like start anything. It's always about that frame of pick, that one frame of the time, the element that we're trying to work on. But, you know, we're surrounded by cameras. We're surrounded by everything these days. Everything you do is reflected, and it's going to be out there. So even if you're dressing, you know, like a bum versus, you know, at least polishing your shoes once in a while, whatever your SOGs, SOPs, policies are, it is what it is. But, you know, however you handle yourself on the streets is going to affect someone some way, you know, because even the basic social media issue of seeing pictures, or we always see things pop up on the email lists every couple of weeks. Somebody took a picture of something, they're getting sued for something.
Right.
Great. But if you have a PIO, if, you know, for the textbook definition, or somebody that is, you know, sound and in charge of running the department's or the company's page, you can control that media a little bit better. You get that information out correctly, concisely, and out. You know, there's not going to be any drama. Well, there's always going to be drama, but you're going to at least have a better option, you know, a better opportunity of controlling that. All right, let's take an example by me. We have a little brush fire by me. You know, the guys hack away two fences. People get upset. Well, we put out a message right away that said, this happened because of X, Y, and Z. The guys needed access for the line to get in place to protect the building. All right, no problem. But if you just say, oh, we have, you know, cool pictures, everything's burnt up, you know, you might have.
You get to control the narrative.
Right. Exactly. The customer, the people, whether you're a tax district, volunteers based on the borough's money or paid in the city, you're always working for people. We always, you know, work for ourselves and our families, but, you know, you're still providing a service. If you guys are walking around doing stupid shit, you're going to hear about it. We know, especially in the world today, it's a different ball game, my man.
Right on.
It's not what we grew up with.
Another one I wanted to ask about was building construction for the first due. I'm infatuated with building construction. I'm not a guru by any stretch.
No, me neither.
I've been building a presentation that may someday see the light of day, but it's been under construction for like 2 years on building construction, and it's morphed and it's changed, and it's now called street reading, but not the point. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to talk to you about it because I love building construction for the first due. So how is that different from just a normal, like, go ahead.
So the thing, I mean, thing I like to do, you know, if you call me up and say, hey, Rob, for some reason we want to listen to your bullshit, what's up? And we want to work on buildings and building construction. What I like to do, and this is going back to a couple of my mentors of mine, you know, like John Lewis and whatnot, what they did when they taught, and it reflected into me and how I process my things is, let's say your town wants to, you know, talk about buildings. I'm not going to teach you, you know, on high rises when you don't even have a building higher than a, you know, a two-story building.
Right.
I'll give you like a quick couple discussion points, but I'm going to drive your streets. I'm going to talk to you, develop a plan that goes, you know, so it's accurate for your guys.
Right.
You know, because the biggest thing that I love, again, the cell phones, horrible tool and a great tool. What I've been fortunate enough is all the bosses I've worked for are half of it's a trust factor, but I got my phone at all times on me. We go through, you know, one of the streets in town where it was an old industrial area and every basement's interconnected. It's beautiful. The things you find, I'll send you the picture of it. We were under like an old theater and about two floors below ground, there was like a beautiful, I don't know if it was terrazzo or like a marble floor, but they had like old, like gentlemen's clubs, you know, hand sealed top hats, canes. And this is going back, you know, 120 years.
Right.
But if you don't know your building construct, and then ironically, we had a fire in that strip a couple months later, it was big, it was everywhere, conflagration of a single building. But, you know, if you're not thinking about that, you're stretching in, you're like, oh, our basic factory, like a processing plant fire, 2.5 is great, we're going to stretch in and no problem. But then when you think about it, you're like, oh, we're already 75 feet in. This is getting crazy with a 2.5. And then you're like, wait a second, below us there's two more floors that are like a vacant, abandoned, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's helping, kind of discussing it, but you got to know your thing. And that's one thing I love to preach is, yes, everybody knows their ones through their fives. Now they get the 6.5 and all these extra, you know, as building construction and the business itself, the trade of construction keeps changing and evolving with price points. You know, there's always going to be new grammar and definitions, but if you don't know what the history of, and it goes back to history and tradition and culture, if you don't know what your first due's history, culture, and traditions were, you know, your firefighting game's going to completely change.
Absolutely.
You know, because again, you go, I don't know, one of my really one of our close buddies, unofficially part of this, is in Savannah. Like, he was all about truck work. I speak to him, and he's like, Bobby, this is a whole different ballgame down here, brother. This ain't like Northeast truck work. You know, the engine spot is the place to be down here. But you learn, you know. And then I love that city, old city, like my city, but it's a whole different ball game. You know, right. Nothing's higher than our stuff, but again, resources, people, training, culture makes a difference. So hopefully I kind of hit on what we're looking for.
Right,
but,
right. No, absolutely. I mean, that's what it's about.
Again, a picture, and going back to what we were talking about in the beginning with a couple of those questions, young and old, you know, who knows in 20, 30 years from now how phones are going to develop, but you got those pictures already.
Right.
So you might be able to say, hey, kid, I'm going to send you 120 pictures. Check this out. And you're like, oh, where is all this? Next door.
Right.
What?
Right.
You know, what do you mean next door? Like, I'll give you, for example, across the street from our fire, one of my fire, ladder one, across the street from ladder one, there was a two-story ordinary house, two-family house being renovated. And I'm fortunate enough, again, my bosses are awesome. We walk, you know, we'll check it out if it's open, no problem, just survey it a little bit. And we're walking, and, you know, you could tell this place was old, obviously. But then you look in, and you see a little alligatoring in the back. You're like, yo, maybe there was a fire here years ago. Then we start looking around. You see the cutout of the original stone foundation, because back then it was nice big slabs put in, not little blocks. And then, you know, we're sitting there, we're thinking about it. It's like, no way. So one of our guys talks to one of our historian kind of guys, and he's like, yo, I found it in the book. Man, this was a market, like a store.
Oh, wow.
In the 50s that had a fire in the back by the deli section. And like, shit. But again, if you don't know that, and then, right. Well, now it's beautiful. Now they flipped it. They just covered it up. You know, they sheetrocked right over everything, threw a couple of extra 2x4s on it. It's beautiful. But if you don't know that, and again, I think the biggest underlying thing we're talking about here is just maintaining and preserving that culture.
Right.
You know, yes, training is cool. Patches are cool. All this fun stuff is great. But if you're not going to preserve and try to build on it, you're not doing any justice, my man.
Brian Floor is asking, any recommendations for online classes to learn building construction?
I know Bobby is doing one right now. He posts on his Instagram. Bobby Eckert does one. I'm trying to think off the top of my head who else is big into building construction. I know in our area we have like Paulie Dansback that teaches a lot. I don't know if he's doing online stuff right now, but
I know Tobin and Shady.
Yeah,
Lex Tobin and Chris, Lex Shady, Chris Tobin. I mix them up. Both of them are doing. I don't know. I know they're doing it. I don't know if they were going to do a podcast on it. Main Street firefighting type deal.
Right. Right.
Another thing is the roof pervs online. That's a really good one. But the problem, I think, with building construction is it's so local, like you were saying, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, my district, we have no basements because we're in a river bottom. So the water table, there's no basements here. We have no
balloon
frame.
But by me, it's like I'm sitting in the basement right now.
Right on.
the street's right above me,
so,
you know.
It's so local. That's the biggest thing is know your district is probably the mantra for building construction.
Right. I think – you could get, I mean, it depends what you want to learn. Obviously, the basics make a huge difference in your firefighting strategy and tactics. It's just knowing the basics a little bit help you develop a game plan. But if you're able to get out there, that's the best thing to do, my dude, is to get out, walk your streets. You know, yeah, you don't have to walk around, you know, in a outfit and everything. Just drive around, cruise around, chill. You know, look, sometimes, you know, you hit the stop sign, hit the extra second to look at that house. You know, because even when I was down south, I guess they're called shotgun houses, those little straight throughs or something like that. You know, they're nice. But if you think about it, like, oh, we've had a couple in here in the South region. Well, you walk in, living room, bathroom, bedroom, kitchen. Same layout, but no basement.
Right.
You know, it's right on the slab. So it's different for me compared to the other areas, but that basic of knowing, hey, this is a wood frame truss. Quick, it was put up in 3 weeks, my dude. Unless you're making a rescue, that thing's going to take off. By the time you pull up there, even if you're staffed, it's going to be sailing on you, you know? So we'll even put up, you know, between you and I, we could put up questions and get more for these guys on, you know, online training for sure.
And then, of course, you're never going to go wrong with the Brannigan and Dunn.
Of course.
And I love Dodson's, the Art of Reading Building. So all those are really solid.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I know that's one of your points is, don't forget about the books. I mean, yes, promotional time, everybody's reading books. But like first thing I did when I was a probie, you know, I came in with my books. They're like, yo, kid, what are you doing? I'm like, it's never too early to learn. Like, yes, you're always cleaning, you're always doing the sinks. But if you got like 5 minutes to read 2-3 pages, it makes a difference. You know, like, you just got to keep taking in info. Maybe not, and that's, again, the beast of social media and the Instagram world. Maybe not everything's credible and great. But if you read that and you know what's wrong, you can be like, yo, I know my shit because I know that information is completely out of bounds.
Right.
You know, and your experience training and your senior guys, young guys, everybody as a team, you come up with, you know, hey, yeah, this guy's out of whack completely. Next, you know, go back to this. And then that creates that conversation again with those guys, you know, that we were trying to hit on in the beginning. So,
well, that brings up the discussion on books. Brings up a great question, which is I'd like to ask my guests, do you have book or books that you think firefighters should be reading?
I'll give the fire answer first. I do like, and like for Jersey, we got to read Norman Essentials and a handful of other books. But I honestly liked reading the Special Operations book by Norman. Not a firematic thing. It's more buff. But, you know, if you're into it, these reads get easy for you. If you like the job, if you're buff and you like to train and you want to learn, it's easier. Like I said, it doesn't matter that I got a couple of college degrees. I have no shame saying that my comprehension level and reading, not my forte. You know, it's not my thing. I can't, you give me a book, I'm going to stare at the cover for 3 hours before trying to even read it. I'm just not good. But I mean, one thing I was fortunate enough, in part with the Leary Firefighters Foundation at work, I was selected to take a leadership course with the guys from, what are they called? Mission Centered Solutions out in Colorado. They made us read Into Thin Air by John Crowder about the, Mount Everest disaster. And it's just a leadership book. You know, I know that's going to be another conversation with like leaders and whatnot, but just again, what are we talking about? Another underlying common thing we're discussing is like people and attitudes and just like young, old, everything. This book, like, I'm not going to ruin any of it. It's a quick read. I mean, things got to be 300 pages, dude. That's like reading two chapters in Norman. But, you know, it's just, you don't have to, if you're developing yourself as a leader, or your crew or anybody, maybe a young guy that you're like, hey, kid, don't break my chops. Read this book first just to kind of get a sense of where they're going with the head.
Sure.
You know, read everything you can get. I know, you know, in my academy, when I did it the first time as a volley, it was, you know, a lot of military stuff. I mean, like I was going to bring up reading Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins. I mean, this dude is a badass, crazy story. And it was an easy read for me. Like I said, I don't like to read. I can't read per se compared to the average Joe, but I'm reading this and it's like, yeah, you know, he's telling his story of what he's been through. But then if you like what you're reading, you know, and it resounds of what you're wanting, what you're trying to accomplish, it's going to fly better.
Right on.
You're going to get at it. You know, so again, I'd recommend these two. Again, Into Thin Air, at first I was very like, oh, great. It's a class book. It's like being in school again. But once you're done with it, you're like, oh, shit. You know, so-and-so's issues with this person is why they failed. And maybe for some of the people that were asking questions earlier, you might read this and be like, oh, that's the same shit I'm right going on. Through.
Yeah.
I don't want to fail like them. Maybe I'll try something. Maybe I'll speak up. And again, Goggins' book, I mean, I also just bought Matt Best wrote a Thank You for My Service kind of book. I don't know what it's about. I love following that guy from Article 15. But, you know, these military dudes, yes, they got good stories and they have meaning. So, nice. You know, we got to learn from one another. Just because we're just firefighters doesn't mean we can't learn from a cop, an EMS, military, teacher, whomever. You know, we got to be out there. You got to, your whole career, you got to be a sponge. You got to soak it in and you know, discuss what, you know, the pros and cons of everything.
Right.
You don't have to like everything, but you got to at least give it an opportunity, you know?
No, 100%. And I love that. That's a great, because it's just Aristotle. He said what a mark of an educated man is the ability to look at an idea or examine an idea without accepting it.
Right.
So you have to be able to at least consider it.
Right.
Right. No, love that. All right. So this is the scrap, and on the scrap, we have this thing we do called the 5 questions for firefighters.
Mm.
So the, there's no right or wrong answers, sort of. And so it's just your opinions. But the points are arbitrary and assigned by me. So, Rob Pollack, are you ready for the 5 questions for firefighters?
Just send it.
Send it. I like it. Here we go. Number one, what is the number one issue facing the modern fire service?
Oh, what's the political answer for this? I feel that the biggest issue in the American fire service is not the leather helmet or space helmet debate, but it is to continue the development of the culture. You know what I'm saying? Because you have a lot of, I don't want to call us younger folks entitled or big shots, but there's a lot of attitudes. And we are in a pivotal time where people are nervous to say things, obviously, with the world we're living in. But, you know, it's the firehouse. You know, we got to work together. It doesn't matter. You know, we always swore to always work together, save lives, property, all that fun stuff. But this is your house. This is your team. You know, man, woman, whatever color, creed, we're a team, you know, and you got to make sure to maintain that. Don't lose the house. Don't lose the company. Don't lose yourself. You took an oath. You're going to do the job. You know, you made it here. You know, I hate to say it, but one thing I after the crazy college and high school time, you know, once I got out of halfway through college, I was like, dude, some guys want to go to the NFL. I want to be a fireman. You know what I mean? So for me, it was, I'm going to make it here. I'm going to make it to my Broncos or my Yankees or Devils, whatever, yeah. Whatever team you want to be.
Hell yeah.
So the biggest issue is not losing people. People got to stay into it. You got to maintain. It gets tough. So maybe that wasn't a black and white answer.
It's a good answer.
But I hope it kind of, I hope somebody took something away from that, you know.
It's a solid answer, man. Solid answer. Yes. Yeah. Number two, what is the thing you are most excited about for the future of firefighting?
The networking's big, you know, because I'm definitely interested to see what happens with, we're seeing right now what's going on with education, culture, and everything, right?
Right.
Phones. I could talk to you on a Zoom right now. I have a podcast. Somebody might learn something around the world from this. But, you know, tactics are slowly changing. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm going to hit some, what's the word, hot topic.
I like
but
it.
But, like, all this, you know, I had the opportunity a couple years ago to go to the Philly, I'm going to screw this up, either a NIST or UL burn on basement fires, right? And this is where I was trying to bridge that nerdiness with the hands-on practical stuff. I'll be honest, I'm not big on the terms.
Okay.
Right? You know, yes, flow path, flow event, all this cool stuff. But the tough part and what I'm interested in seeing is to see how that's going to continue to merge. Because eventually, you know, people can't stop saying, oh, screw that, you know, research-based stuff. And at the same time, the other half can't say, oh, it's all bullshit.
Right.
Or, hey, we're doing research. We're pouring in a lot of money into set up sensors and heat gate and thermo gauge. And, you know, if it's painting a picture for you of what's going on in the fire,
right,
it makes a difference. I'm not saying straight up that, hey, yes, you know, the burns are controlled. There's temperature points everywhere. There's no rugs, sofas. Like, if I turned the camera around, you'd be like, yo, this is a hot place to be. But, you know, that's not there. But it's not about that. Guys got to understand that that research is there to develop the future.
Right.
So if I can tell you this is the frame, the heat that you're going to encounter with nothing in that room, that should be a sensor of, oh, shit.
Right.
This is going to get real bad in the real world. So what I'm most excited about for the future of the fire service is to see the continuation of the academic side and the salty side working together.
Nice.
You know, because if you can get guys that are snotty, great firemen to work together with a lot of the nerdy guys, you might see something really crazy take off.
Right on.
That's, you know.
Yeah. No, I like it.
It might work. It might work, but you got it. Like you said earlier, you got to try it. If it don't work, it doesn't work.
Number three, the best rank or position to be in the fire service.
Tillerman. Now, I love my tower. I'm assigned to a tower, but when we get the spare, my man, that tiller seat is a different world. You know, because you're sitting there, you got the whole view. I think that's, you know, there's your answer back to earlier. One of my posts, I posted a picture out of the box, just talking about how you have an incredible vantage point compared to everybody else on that rig. From the tiller seat, you can see obviously a little bit over the cab, but you see all the streets, all the people, everything around you, 360. So even if you're rolling up to a red light, windows are open, you know, people are, you see houses, you see everything, you see things the guys on the front aren't going to see.
Right.
And then you come back, or you stay on the headset, or you hit the button once or twice for the guys to stop. You say, yo, let's go check that out. Right? Because what? The front of the rig, just like anything else, like a car, driver, passenger, officer, straight ahead,
right,
cruising, checking it out. But you're in that box, you're above everything. You catch a job, let alone you catch a job in the box, you're seeing the header before your guys even hit it. And then, you know, you got that conversation going, yo, this thing's going well. Well, I can't see anything. But yeah, I can't, trust me. It's good, bro.
Nice, nice.
So I'd say for a position that rank, I don't know. I'm not about rank. I just like the work.
I like it. No, I like the answer. It's hard for me to judge. We don't have a tiller. We don't have a bendy truck. So
that's all right.
So
the bend.
Number four. Best advice you have ever received.
I'm gonna say it's a tie, right? Like I said earlier, the biggest thing was the senior guy coming down to me and saying, kid, open your mouth. And no, that sounded really bad. You gotta hit an edit on that. But
we're live, brother.
I know, it's over. Listen, it is what it is. But speak up, because if I don't know something, you know it's going to get me killed. And that was big, because again, I came in as a rookie thinking I'm going to keep my mouth shut. And this dude, and I looked up, and I still do look up to this truck guy, and he's like, yo, if you don't tell me, I'm screwed, period.
Right.
But the other thing is, you got to keep learning, man. You know, you always hear the cliche of once you hang up your gear, it's over. Yeah, that shit's true. You know, but there are other, and what I'm learning now is there are other ways to like be that guy. You don't have to always be 150% into this every day. You're gonna burn yourself out. But if you can just step back and talk to the young guy or the old guy and have that conversation, just always be into it. Be fluid. Keep rolling. It's gonna make a difference, you know. And always pass it on. We hear these basic quotes coming out, but it makes a difference, you know. Like little things, but again, pass it on. Sounds like the first thing that I was talking about. You know, you got to speak up. You got to work. And just go to work. Love the job. If you love the job, you're going to be fine. And if you stay a firefighter your whole career, but you love this shit, you're going to do fine.
Nice.
You know, if you're a boss, you got to love your guys. You got to, you know, we're all family. Just understand everybody's got something going on and treat everybody with respect and you'll be fine. You'll be fine. And if you're a good person, things work out. It is what it is, you know.
I like it. Number five.
No, I'm good.
No, you're good, man. That's that. That's why. That's what I asked for. All right, you have heavy fire, and you have searchable space. So, would you rather be assigned to the nozzle or first in on VES?
Black. That's a tough one. Black and white, being nozzle or VES. I mean, obviously, there's nothing better than being a shit-kicking nozzle guy. However, I'll throw a curveball on that one. What about being a VES guy with a can?
Hey, I like it. I like it.
See, because that's one thing that I've been fortunate. However you want to look at it, I have a handful of fires where my boss, and now I always take it. My boss is like, because again, we only have three.
Right.
Rob, grab the can. All right, cool. And we're like, listen, my engine is up our asses. They're quick. Our guys are good. But there's been a couple of times where we've had a solid 15, 20 seconds ahead of the line work. And it gets warm. And that can, I mean, I'll hear about it next day. You know, you might have stolen a nice line job out of a guy using can.
Right on. Hey,
you know,
this is number 88. You're on weekly scrap number 88, and no one's ever said VES with a can. So,
right? I'm just saying.
That's
like,
original. I love it.
You have 2.5 gallons.
Right on.
It makes a difference. You know how to use it. It makes a difference. And that goes back to one of the first things we were talking about earlier tonight. Basic shit. What do they teach you in Fire 1? How to force a door with a halogen, a pro bar, whatever you want to call it, an axe, a hook and a can. They teach you a whole night how to fill up a can, how to use it, how to depressurize it, how to fill it again. Nobody touches the can. What are you doing?
Right on.
Love the can.
Right on. Love it. There it is. Five questions according to Rob Pollock. So, brother.
Shoot.
Where can people get a hold of you? Reach out, book a class, find you, follow you, message you, whatever. Go.
I'm anywhere. I mean, it's obviously pretty simple. Flow Event. I'm for anybody that's reached out. I answer right away. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Mikey watches the Twitter. We're everywhere. Just Google Flow Event. Rob. I'm here. You find me. I can't hide anywhere I go. It's already. Oh, you're that guy. Yeah. I'm not what you thought I was it?
No, it is awesome, man. I enjoyed the conversation, man. It was a good conversation. No,
I appreciate it.
We hit some rabbit holes. We went off on some tangents. It was a good time. So I always like
somebody learned something.
I always like to feature a challenge coin. You can see my slowly filling flag behind me, filling up with challenge coins. This one was actually pressed into my hand like a secret as I was down at COBC down in Florida, and it came from Adam Lopez. Him and David Hinojosa are in charge of the training down there, and so they designed this coin down there. It's Community Volunteer Fire Department in Texas. The front side, the back side. They got the Spartan Warrior going there, man.
That's pretty cool.
No, and the Texas flag behind it. It's they have really one of the most moving things I've seen for me personally, because they make their guys memorize the Vigilant Creed, which is something I wrote a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And they push it and passionate about it. They posted a video of their rookies doing it. So anyway, I wanted to share that to everybody. I got to touch on the Honor the Fallen Fire Conference. We talked about micro conferences coming up. Mine's coming up at the end of June, June 25th, 26th, 27th. Unbelievable lineup of speakers, guys. This is 100% of the proceeds is going to, let me get it up there so people can see it. 100% of the proceeds is going to Families of Fallen Firefighters. Mark Davidson, Robert Mira, Jacob Johnson, Jeremy Sanders, Scott Thompson, Howard Reinwalt, Kyle Romagus, Chief Dennis Riley. Throwing those, that's the lecture, guys. The third day is the hands-on training day. You've got Valor Fire Training, David Mellon. We talked about him earlier, carrying a gas can around, running around naked, screaming in Spanish. And then the Bearers of the Oath are coming in. So some amazing hot tracks. There's still a few spots left. I don't want to say, I think there's less than 10 spots left for the hot tracks. But I don't quote me on that. But it's running out very rapidly. So anyway, I had to touch on that. People are constantly reaching out to me on the conference, asking me the best way they can help. And the best thing you guys can do is go and share it. Share it on social media so people can find out about it and get to it. So that's all my housekeeping. Guests coming up May 25th, next guest. We're getting out of New Jersey for May and going Aaron Fields. We're going to the Northwest, Pacific Northwest. Aaron Fields is coming on, followed by Eric Wheaton jumping down to Florida. Then we got John Metz, Isaac Fraser, Basil Ibrahim, Jacob Johnson. It's a packed up lineup coming up. So
a bunch of guys.
Now, man, dude, it's a fun thing to sit here and just talk to people who are into the job. So, Rob, thank you for a great evening. Thank you for giving it to me. I appreciate
the opportunity, brother. Anytime.
Awesome. Everybody watching live, thank you for the questions and the comments. I tried to get to them. Hope I didn't miss too many. Try to throw them to Rob. You guys are awesome as always. You make the scrap what it is. Other than that, I hope the tone stays silent unless it's burning. Stay safe out there.
Thanks for listening to the Weekly Scrap. Please subscribe and please share. We'll see you at the next episode.